the direction the Lord led me to with what I'm going to share with you here tonight. And I'm just going to share my heart with you about several things that God has been speaking to me about as far as a shepherd of this flock, overseer of the ministry here that God has blessed us all with. Some of the things that God has been working in my heart about and some of the direction what is leading us to go in. And so I want you to go to Luke chapter 19 with me. We're going to go to several places in the scriptures tonight. And for those of you that can't keep up, I know I can go pretty fast. That's why I give you those outlines to help you know where those verses are. And if you can't get there fast enough, be able to turn to those places. This is what I'd like to do before we dig into the things that God's put in my heart to share with you here tonight. I'd like to pray. When we get done sharing, we're going to have a time of corporate prayer. I'm going to ask for individuals to pair up with each other and spend some time praying about the future of our church, about what the Lord is leading us to accomplish together. And by the way, there's a lot of things that I believe, and you'll see this when I begin to share some of the goals, a lot of things that I believe the Lord wants to do and will do that I don't know about yet. And ministries that are going to be started and opportunities that are going to be taken advantage of. And the sky's the limit. We've got to join together, united as a church, to be able to accomplish the mission and the vision that God has given us for this year. So let's pray together and ask God to bless our time in the scriptures. Father, we come before you this evening thanking you for a good morning this morning. Thank you, Lord, for a sweet time of worship. We also thank you for many guests who joined us here, and many answers to prayer, even by the people who came this morning. And I pray, God, for them, that we would reach out to them and love on them, and those especially who don't know you as Savior, that we might be able to have a gospel conversation with them. But Lord, as we direct our attention to tonight and the things that you have given for us here tonight, I pray the vision would be clear, the word would be helpful and encouraging and challenging and inspiring, and Lord, that you would work in a way that only you can here tonight. And we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Throughout this past year, God has used many circumstances, and he's used many people personally in my life to teach me really, I guess the emphasis of what I'm going to talk to you here tonight on this vision night is the need for our church to refocus on our mission. That's why the theme, to be honest with you, the first theme that I felt like we might have for this year was something that was exciting to me, was something that I had learned about this last year, and maybe the Lord will let me do it later. But as the year continued to progress, and as I had several encounters with different people and was reading several different things, the Lord, and even the study in Genesis and Hebrews, the Lord began to use all that to work in my heart that we really do as a church need to refocus upon our mission as a church. There is such a thing as mission drift. There is such a thing as becoming so ingrained in tradition or what we've always done that things get old, and that, or even in doing those same things over and over again, you lose sight of what you're really trying to accomplish with them. We nitpick activities and events that we have, like, well, we didn't do everything the way we were supposed to, as far as the structure or organization of it. And maybe you don't feel this as much as I do, but boy, it's something the Lord has been really speaking to my heart about. I want to read you an illustration. I don't have it memorized. I'm going to read it to you. It's actually something that happened in the life of Henry Ford. You all know who Henry Ford is, right? Henry Ford once said, "A weakness of all human beings is trying to do too many things at once." Have any of you ever been there before? "That scatters effort and destroys direction. It makes for haste, and haste makes waste. So we do things all the wrong ways possible before we come to the right one. And then we think it is the best way because it works, and it was the only way left that we could see. every now and then I wake up in the morning headed toward that finality with a dozen things I want to do, and I know I can't do them all at once. He's telling this story to an individual, and when he said that statement, that person then asked Ford what he did about that, having so many things to do and not knowing exactly which one to focus on. And this is what Henry Ford said in response. He said, "I go out and I trot around the house. While I'm running off the excess energy that wants to do too much, my mind clears and I see what can be done and should be done first." And if you would allow me to put the illustration in this way here, I did a lot of trotting around the house over the past 6 months or so. And just observing, just meditating, just thinking about where things are at Lighthouse Baptist Church and the way that God would like to lead us forward. And I observed several things. I observed that there is a minority of people in our church who are often worn out. There are a minority of people in our church who are involved in most of the activities and ministries, and they're often worn out by the continual bombardment of activity. I observe that. I observe that many of the people supposedly reach through all of our emphasis on big days never actually stick around. And I observe that we focus so much on good things often that we somehow lose our focus on the most important things. What's important? Someone coming forward at a service and making a decision and we never see them again? Or someone being reached out to for what may take months, but coming to a genuine decision of faith in Christ and growing? What's more important? To be honest with you, this past year, we didn't see more people saved. We didn't see a growth as far as even in attendances. And you understand, and I don't think any of us think that that's what this ministry is about. So don't misunderstand what I'm getting at with that. But what I'm saying is we can have a focus on having all of this activity, but at some point we got to stop and say, what are we trying to accomplish here? And maybe we're not going about accomplishing it in the best way. Maybe it's time to stop scrambling just to try to figure out what's the best thing to do. Take a step back and decide, this is what God's given us to do. Lord, how do you want us to do it? And give God an open door. Give God some time instead of crowding him out with all of our activity. You understand what I mean? It's so easy to do. And there's some things that I've observed. And so through all of this observation, my mind was cleared of all the stuff that we have, all this buildup of stuff. And I began to see more clearly how we need to refocus our efforts as a church. And I'm giving you big picture in a lot of ways here tonight. I know that. But if you listen to me, it's going to have application to right where all of us are at in our ministries and in the mission that God has given for every single one of us here as a part of a church. And so several things I want to tell you here, and this is where we get to Luke chapter 19. So how do we need to refocus our effort as a church? Here's the first thing I'd say. Culture wants a program-focused church. Culture. What do I mean by that? American culture is all about activity. It's all about your memberships, your leagues that you can be involved of. It's all about the TV programs. It's all about activity. And all of these things being scheduled. Culture demands a program-focused church. Jesus wants a people-focused church. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. What did Jesus say? Let's read it out loud together. Luke 19 and verse 10. "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came not to start programs. Jesus came to reach people. And am I against programs? No. They can be a tool to reach people, but they can also be something we get so focused on that we're so busy conducting our programs. Meanwhile, there's been times where I've been so busy conducting an activity for this church, and I see somebody, and I think, man, I wish I could go talk to them. Has that ever happened to any of you before? Well, I'm in ministry right now. Someone else needs to go talk to them. No, phooey on the ministry. Go talk to them. You say, well, who else is going to serve the green beans? Let them serve themselves. Go talk to them. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not undermining anybody's ministry by saying that. But I am trying to get across this, what's really important here? Souls or socials? Activity. What is more important? Jesus, it was about people. And we saw that all throughout his ministry, and boy, we could park there a long time tonight and give a lot of illustration just looking at the life of Christ and his earthly ministry, but I only got a certain amount of time, so we're going to move on. Here's the second statement I'll make tonight. Culture demands an entertaining church. We live in an entertainment culture. We live in a culture that, boy, whether it's you're watching a television show or you're watching a football game, or, boy, just about anything that you go to, if you don't provide entertainment, culture isn't interested in it. And you all know as well as I do that that is the entertainment emphasis of our culture has invaded our churches. And it's easy to criticize the church down the road, but I'm not interested in the church down the road, to be frank with you. This vision is about Lighthouse Baptist Church. And we too can fall prey to an entertainment type of emphasis. And I think if we went around the room, we could probably come up with several ways we've even seen that manifested at Lighthouse. But culture demands an entertaining church. Jesus desires an edifying church. In other words, hey, when you're entertained, you may go away amused, you may go away laughing, you may go away feeling good about yourself, but nothing's happened. You've not been built up. You've not been given anything of substance. Jesus desires for his church to be a place where people can come and be built up in their faith and grow closer to the Lord. He desires this assembly of disciples to come together, and we're not just looking to entertain each other, we're looking to grow, build each other up in our faith. Now, I put a verse in your notes. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I don't have time to delve all the way into the context because it's a chapter of Scripture which is actually talking about tongues speaking in the church, and it's an interesting chapter. We've studied it 5 years ago. But chapter 14, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation." Well, read the last phrase of that verse with me. "Let all things be done unto edifying." All right? We are not here to focus on hobby horses. We are not here to focus on ourselves. When we come together into this place, hey, let all things be done to edify, to building one another up. You know, the reason you come to this church, it cannot solely be about you getting your needs met. It cannot be. This will never be the church that Jesus intended for it to be if that is all our own focus. That's an immature body. You know, and I have people tell me all the time, well, I'll just say it. I have people tell me all the time, well, I just don't like your church anymore. Why? Well, I don't like the music. Well, I don't like the kids ministry. I don't think it's good enough. I'm going to go over and try somewhere else. I don't like this. I don't like that. And a lot of times the reason is a very selfish-based reason. We all have room to grow, okay? And I'm not saying this that any church is perfect, especially Lighthouse Baptist Church. But you're not going to find a perfect church anywhere you go. You're not going to find it. But one of the things that is going to continue to inflict damage on our focus as a ministry is if we're driven by being entertained or by selfishness, we can put it that way, instead of edifying, building each other up. The next statement here. Culture demands a church that meets my needs. Jesus designed the church to minister to the needs of others. Now, these ones, I kind of got ahead of myself, I suppose, here. But culture demands a church that meets my needs. Jesus designed the church to minister to the needs of others. Mark 10, verse 45. Is that in your notes? Mark 10, 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, I'll be honest with you. The other day, Miss Debbie posted a picture on her Facebook. I know a lot of you guys aren't on Facebook, but it was a picture from 10 years ago on this platform, BBS. Andrew Reed was standing up here, and Angela wasn't in the picture, but there were a lot of people I didn't recognize. Kyla was in the picture, and boy, she was just a little girl, and Alec was in it, and there are several that I recognize from there. Some of you older ones would probably recognize a lot more. But I was most encouraged by seeing Miss Debbie holding two kids in her arms. I was encouraged by Dave and Pat Sykes standing over on the side, and there are several others. Ursula was in there, and Marie Schmidt was in there, and there's just several of our longstanding members who were in that picture. I was encouraged by it, and I thought, man, I'm thankful that there were people here 10 years ago who were serving in ministry, and they're still here, and they're still serving in ministry. Amen. That encourages my heart. That encourages my heart. And it really encourages my heart because over the course of even my short time in the ministry, 8 years in the ministry, I guess this is the ninth year in the ministry, I've seen a lot of people come and go. They get real involved for a year and they fizzle and they fade out. And there's multiple reasons for that, I understand. I'm just encouraged to see someone faithfully being involved, faithfully serving in those ministries. But here's the thing I'm going to say with that. You can't expect the same people to keep serving in ministry like that for decades at a time. There's going to come a point when there needs to be a changing of the guard. And I say to some of you young people, my age, maybe a little bit older than me, maybe a little bit younger than me, it's time to step up. God has given us a great mission. I know we're all busy. And that's a part of American lifestyle, I suppose. But God has given us a mission greater than the things that we allow ourselves to get consumed with. And by the way, I'm glad 10 years ago there was a Dave and Pat Sykes, there was a Debbie McHenry, there was some of these ones I saw in that picture who were teaching these kids, because these kids are grown now, and they know the Lord, and they know the way that they're supposed to be living their life, and many of them are doing so. Not all of them, but many of them are, and there's an impact, and I'm thankful there's someone there. And we have the opportunity to do the same thing for our generation here. And so it cannot be about getting our needs met solely. I'm not saying that you should never be helped spiritually. The emphasis is not on that, though. And usually, I'll just say always, as I minister to others, I am always more helped than they are. That's the true beauty of serving others. That's the true beauty of the dynamic that we're talking about here. Here's another statement I want to make to you, because I got to move along. Religion demands, I'm not talking about culture now, I'm talking about religion. Religion demands a formal church. How many of you have ever been to a Catholic church before? Or a Protestant church? Very formal services. Very liturgical in the way that they go through everything, and I repeat after me phrases all the time and say this prayer and all that. And I've not been to very many. I've been to one Catholic funeral. That's my one experience in the Catholic Church. And I actually preached a funeral in a Catholic church. Now, that was really interesting. Those old ladies in that church did not like me. You say, how do you know? I knew. They made sure I knew by their expressions. Now, they couldn't talk because they were in church, because it was a Catholic church, but the silence was deafening by the looks they had on their face. I'm getting off track here. But religion demands a formal church. Jesus desires a church that is a family. Amen. We're a family. I'm thankful. I say this every Sunday. I'm thankful I can gather today, something like this, to worship Jesus with my church family. I'm thankful for this family we can get together with. What do I mean by that? This needs to be a place where people from all walks of life and stages of life are welcome, okay? Now, do not take this illustration too far, okay? But when my two-year-old runs in the room and just, well, she doesn't wear diapers anymore, but when she did that, when she was even a little bit younger, all right, I didn't go, "Where are you? Put your clothes on." Why? Well, we're family. Now, if she does it when she's 16, there's probably going to be a problem, all right? A big problem, but the point is, she's two, and that's normal. That's okay, okay? So when we have people walk in here on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and maybe they're not dressed right, okay? Maybe they're not dressed in a way that we're comfortable with. Maybe they do things during the service that makes us want to go, "What is wrong with you?" Maybe, like there was this morning, they're sitting out in the parking lot and they're blaring their not-so-gospel music. Maybe that's happening. But in a family, it's okay. Now, we know it's okay because we want to help those people grow. I don't throw my kid out because I see a behavior like that, but I might talk to him about it. I might try to help him along. And honey, you need to go put your clothes on. It's not a good idea to run around without any clothes on. I'm not going to get mad at him. I'm not going to reject him or spurn him. There's no formality in our home. And listen, I understand, and I still hold the conviction in my own heart personally, especially when I'm preaching the word and leading in public ministry, that I ought to give God my best. And especially on Sunday morning when we come together to worship the Lord. And I'm not saying that we need to become a casual church. I think that has its vices as well. Come as you are and leave the same is the kind of mindset. But what I am saying is those of us who have grown in the Lord, we want to make this a place that people can call a home and not push people out because of our own petty differences and opinions. That's what I'm talking about here. Mark chapter 2 and verse 16. "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but what? Sinners to repentance." And so you see the heartbeat of Jesus. He was often eating, he was often conversing, fellowshipping with publicans and sinners. That was his habitat. In fact, I think he enjoyed rather being around them because he was able to fulfill his mission in being with those people. That's why he came. That's why we're here, church, to reach these people. Not to reject them. Not to say, "Well, if you'll stop listening to that music, then I can talk to you." Right. What? What? No. It doesn't make sense. And so let's not lose sight of what our mission here is in all this. And so we are not here to provide exclusively programs, entertainment, or formal religion. We are here for one purpose, church: to make disciples, to mature believers, and to multiply ministry to then again, as God continues that work, make more disciples, see more believers matured, and multiply more ministry. Some of the most exciting things one of the most exciting things for me as a young pastor, been here 5 years, and yet been here long enough to see people who were reached by the Lord through the church in the time that I've been here, who have been reached with the gospel, trusted Christ, grown, and are bringing others to the Lord. Man, I didn't do it this morning, Brother Craig. I'll give it to you in a minute if you want, but I want to give you a high five this morning with your friend standing right there with you. That's awesome. And I love that because I think it was about 2 years ago, Brother Craig, when you and your family came, and I just love to see the growth. And now he's bringing someone God put on his heart to the Lord. And I'm going to get to sit down and meet with him this week. And I don't know what the Lord's going to do with that. But boy, I'm thankful to see that. And that's God's process. That's where the life is. All right? I'd rather us get excited about Brother Craig bringing someone to the Lord, someone to church, I'd rather us get more excited about that than, boy, we had a good country neighbor day. We had a lot of people in church. I'm not saying I don't want to have people in church, but understand what's more important. What is more important? It's making an impact in the lives of individuals. It's making disciples. That is our focus in everything. It's got to be our focus. And so we're doing a refocusing here tonight. And it's time for us to stop making Jesus' church about what we want. And friend, church, I'm the most guilty of this because I'm the guy that is the first one to touch the calendar. And much of what we do around here comes from what I feel like the Lord's leading us to do. I understand that. But it's not about what I want. It's not about what you want. This is Jesus' church. He's already given us His mission. Let's make it about what He wants. And, I had someone say, well, if you do less things, then you're going to have more impact. Well, I've also heard someone say that you could do more with less. I'm not saying less intensity. I'm saying more intensity on the mission Jesus has given us. And so instead of dedicating all of our time to decorating for an event or doing this or that activity, why don't we put more of our time into visiting our neighbors? Why don't we put more of our time into reaching out to our coworkers and pouring into people that need to know Christ as their Savior? Now, some could say, well, will we? That's a fair question. That's a really fair question. But by God's grace, working in each one of our hearts, growing us, I believe we will. And this is the direction that I know the Lord wants us to move forward in. A people focus, not a program focus. And so important for us to understand that here tonight. Now, as we conclude here tonight, how does God want us to fulfill this mission? You probably heard it said, and I've said it many times, a dream without a plan is a wish. I've given you a big idea today, all right? And the big idea is to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ. For some of you, that may seem like a daunting task. Like, how in the world am I supposed to be involved with that? And so with the remaining moments that I have here tonight, I want to give you some of the following major prayer goals that I want you to consider. And on the back of those papers that I gave to you, I don't expect you to write every one of these down. In fact, I'll print them out for you later if you want me to. Don't worry about writing these down word for word. What I want to encourage you to do is, as I'm going through these, I want to encourage you to think about, as God speaks to your heart, where God might nudge you to get involved in. Can you do that? Where God might move you, I'm going to pray for that, or, well, I'm going to see if I can get involved in that particular area right there. And I want you to think with that type of intentionality as I go through these goals. Now, we have three focuses in fulfilling this mission: make, mature, multiply. And so the goals I'm going to set forward for you are going to pertain to those three areas right there. And so first, let's talk about making disciples, okay? 10 goals that I have for you here that I'll go through very quickly. Number one, to lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. And I used to, every year at this meeting, prescribe a number. And I don't think it's wrong to pray for a certain amount of people. I'll probably still do it. But anymore, what I do is just pray for the next soul. Lord, would you let us see someone else come to know you? Just pray for the next soul. But church, if we ever stop bringing people to Jesus, you better believe we've stopped fulfilling the mission He has for us. I know it's not us that does it. I know it's God using us, using our witness. You understand that dynamic. But that's where it's at. There's no greater victory that we'll ever see on this side of eternity than a person passing from darkness to light, getting saved. No more miraculous thing that can take place. And it is our number one priority. So number one, to lead people to faith in Christ. And I encourage you to pray and ask God for someone that He might use you to lead to Jesus this year. Wouldn't it be awesome if everyone in here led one person to come to know Jesus this year? I know we can't prescribe that. We can't foretell that. I don't know how many people are in this room tonight. Maybe 60, 70, 80 people. I don't know how many people are in here tonight. But wouldn't that be awesome? Lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, second goal, prayer goal. Lead every believer who hasn't done so to follow the Lord in baptism. And oftentimes I'll ask for a list from our secretarial staff of people who have been saved but have not yet been baptized. And there are several people in our church who have been saved recently who do need to be baptized and encouraged and discipled in that way. And there are several others who've been saved for years and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And they need to be encouraged in that way. And it's a big burden that the Lord has put on my heart for this year and so important for individual spiritual development. Number three, I want to start an invitation ministry. What is an invitation ministry? Well, I don't know, because I've never really heard of one before. Most of the churches I've gone to have had big pastoral staff, and they would be involved in the invitation ministry. But here's what this is all about. Many of you know how to take someone through the Scriptures and how to be discerning and not 1, 2, 3, pray after me. You understand what I mean? Not easy believism. But be patient enough to wait on the Spirit to work on someone's heart. And when they're ready, whether it's not at that invitation or it's another time, but be able to take someone through the gospel. And here's the thing. If you put yourself in other people's shoes when it comes to an invitation, like an invitation this morning was easy. I invited everybody to come forward. So it wasn't hard not to come forward because everybody was doing it. In fact, you probably felt awkward if you didn't come forward. What are you standing there for? Well, you're not right with God, obviously. No. You know, and so it's kind of reverse culture there, but most of the time, there's an invitation, and it's like, anybody coming forward? Please, someone come forward. No. It happens that way. And if you're lost, and God's speaking to your heart, that's really an intimidating thing. So to have someone up here who is looking, who even smiling, even just following the direction of the Spirit, there's been some times when I could tell the Lord is working in someone's heart, and I've told someone, will you go back and talk to that person? And they'll slip out with them, and lo and behold, they're ready to trust Christ as their Savior. But I want to get a team of people who on a weekly basis are here and are ready. If someone needs to be prayed with, if someone needs to be led to Christ, we need to be prepared. Preaching is not just about putting knowledge in your head. Preaching that is true preaching and not just mere teaching is about bringing people to a point of decision. And with the gospel, that point of decision is, if you're not saved, to accept Christ as your Savior, and if you are saved, to appropriate what God says about you to your current circumstance. And that's important. And so we want to have an invitation team. So that's the third thing there, and some of you I know could be involved with that, and I would love to hear from you if God would put that on your heart. Number four, I want to start a counseling ministry. Now listen to me on this. There is a huge need for counseling. I need a team of people who would be willing to go through some training with me. Now some of you have already been taken through training and counseling, in fact, far more than I have. There are more marriages, there's more marriage counseling than what I can handle. To be honest with you, every time someone calls me, just about every time someone calls me, they say, Pastor, I know you're so busy. And it grieves my heart. Because there's some truth to it. But well, I want to have a counseling ministry so when people call, they know there's going to be someone who can help them with their circumstance. And I tell you what, this counseling ministry could be something that God could use for us to impact people outside of this church family. Because obviously, there are people inside this church family that need counsel, but there are a lot of other people outside of these four walls that for them to go get counseling, they're going to have to pay money to do it. We can do it as a ministry. We can help some people. Now, some of you may not share that same vision with me, but I'm telling you, it's a need. It's a need in this day and time. And God has burdened my heart about starting a counseling ministry. Some of you, I've already talked about being involved with that. And obviously, you need to be more mature in your faith to get involved with something like that. But boy, God's burdened my heart about that. And we have some very wise and equipped people in this body. More than capable. Some of you I go to counsel for. And some of you people come to me and I said, you need to go talk to them. All right? I'm a 30-year-old. I don't know anything. Go talk to them. They did it right. And just you have that wisdom. It's an important goal here. Number five, I got to move along. Intentionally follow up on every contact made through small groups. This is something we've only talked about in the past. It's something I'd really like to see happen this year. Usually when we get a connection card or a visitor come, we'll assign it to a staff member and they'll try to be the ones to follow up. I've realized that ruins the whole dynamic of the church. Not that we shouldn't be following up, but we should be following up. We should be impacting these people. And so as these people come, we're going to start talking to small group leaders about taking, if they're in a similar stage of life as what your small group is, giving it to you. And that doesn't mean the small group leader alone has to go do all those, but you're going to take those as small groups and decide, hey, how are we going to reach out to this person? Let's write them a note this week. Let's go visit them this week. Let's encourage them to come to our group. And that's the whole emphasis of it. And so intentionally follow up with every contact made through small groups. Number six, create more intentional outreach opportunities through small groups. Now, I talked about this during Sunday school or the small group rally here this morning, but there's so much more I believe God wants us to do outside of these four walls. And instead of me getting up here and saying, church, anybody who wants to, we're going to go down to the soup kitchen on Friday and we'll serve soup and we'll minister there. We could do it that way. Or you could come together as a small group and decide we're going to get involved in all these ministries. And I tell you what that will accomplish. Instead of me reading off a whole list of things that people are going to be like, not pay attention to, you come together as a group and you decide we're going to go after this, and we're going to do it together. And you already have a team of individuals locked in together that know each other, who've been praying and seeking the Lord together, and are able to get involved in ministry outside these four walls. That's impactful. Now, I'm uncomfortable with proposing that because I can't control that. If I'm being honest, I want to be able to control everything. I can't, nor should I. That's prideful to think that. God can give, most of you have better ideas than me anyways, and you've been waiting on me to listen to you. Go get them. God put something on your heart. Go get involved. Miss Debbie called me this past week and said, why aren't we going to, what's it called? The FCA.
Well, we're going to do a lunch for them.
Yeah. Her group's going to provide a lunch, and I think some other ladies as well. Ms. Berta's group, they're going to provide a lunch to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Public School Bible Club. Well, I love that. And I often say this when stuff like this happens, what I love most about it is that I had nothing to do with it. I'm not saying that in a sense, well, I didn't have to do that, thank God. I'm thankful that people are using their spiritual gifts and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit and getting involved, reaching our community. That's what I'm talking about, making disciples. And we want to funnel that through our small groups. And so, boy, God put something on your heart, bring it up to your small group. And let's see what the Lord will do this year with those things. Number seven, have a monthly organized outreach initiative. Now, we have really tried and failed at trying to get people involved in outreach through the small groups. I would love to see the day on a weekly basis where in your small groups you're getting together and deciding we're going to go visit someone together. We're going to go out and we're going to go knock an area and just invite people to know the Lord or come to Lighthouse. I'd love to see that happen eventually, and I believe that it will eventually, but one of the things we're going to do as a church is we're going to have that Super Saturday, that monthly initiative, and during that point in time, encourage everyone to come out. I know we're all busy, and for many of you, Saturday is your one day. I get that, but the gospel is still important to go forth. And we may not do it in January because it's kind of cold, but we're gonna have that initiative. Number eight, have four major gospel events to intentionally invite people to follow Jesus. Now, I know I just said we want to go away from being an activity-based church, And I stand by that, but there are some times of year where God just gives us a unique opportunity that I think we still need to take advantage of. I'm talking Easter in our sunrise service. I meet people throughout the year, every year now, that look forward to that. And I really believe there's been people reached through that service right there. The VBS is a huge thing for us. I mean, people from all over come. One of the ladies that was a guest here this morning said, well, I heard about your church through VBS, and I just decided I wanted to start coming. Well, praise God. That's great. Country Neighbor Day in our Christmas musical. So there's our four quarters right there of those things. Number nine, relaunch our website and our sermon media outreach. I oftentimes go back to this, but God used the sermon ministry online to work in, where's Miss Margie at? There she is right there, to work in Miss Margie's heart. There have been others who haven't made the decision to trust Christ, but have made some significant decisions through listening to the online ministry. And a lot of times it's not me that's preaching, but they'll listen to the sermons we post from a family life conference or from a revival meeting or something along those lines, and God just uses it. And it's a way to impact more people. And so we are going to relaunch our website. Now, clarifying, we were going to relaunch it today, had technical difficulties, wouldn't you know it, and not anybody's fault, but we're going to get those sorted out, and so hopefully by this week at some point, you'll type in lbccortez.org, and bam, there's a new website. We'll post it on Facebook when it finally happens. But that is an important way to reach people in this day and time. It is an important way to reach people. Number 10, expand and improve our live stream outreach. Through Donita's service, I was introduced to a guy named Jedekiah. How many of you know Jedekiah? Now, don't ask me which one. There's nobody else in the world named Jedekiah, okay? Especially in Cortez, Colorado. But Jedekiah, he goes over to Rock Springs, and a good guy. I really enjoyed getting to know him. He's really knowledgeable about techie stuff. And he said, I want to come over there, and I want to help you guys, because he's watched our live stream before. He said, I'd really like to help you guys improve your live stream media. And I said, what are you saying? He's like, you know exactly what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you're right. You're right, actually. But that, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that tune into that. Even in our little Cortez, there's a lot of people that tune into that. And it's a way to reach people with the gospel there in a very good way. And so that's make, okay? Now, I know what time it is, so let me hasten along here. Mature. I don't have 10 goals for that. Don't worry. I'll give these to you quickly. Number one, encourage new believers and newcomers to go through continued discipleship. Now, discipleship isn't a program. I know that. But what I love about the continue and what it has done for the ministry here is that it gets two people together for 14 weeks or more to pray together. It gives that individual an opportunity to mentor someone else. That's what I love about it. And the continue is just something to help guide that time. And I think it's a good, and I think it's helpful. I think it's good. And so that's number one. Number two, have a next step group quarterly to encourage new memberships. We did our first next step group this last fall and had a couple of people join the church. The next step group is when someone starts coming to the church, and whether they're saved, baptized, or not, they want to start getting more involved. We encourage them to go to that next step group. And that next step group, I'm going to give the gospel. I'm going to talk to everyone in that group about their salvation if they haven't already been talked to, and clarify that we're a Baptist church, and what those things mean, and teach them our basic doctrine, and talk to them about what it means to be a member and how to get involved and all those types of things. Talk about our church history. It's a three-week thing that we do. But then the great thing is when we finish that, we encourage everyone who's ready join the church. And then we plug them right in because they're already in the habit of coming. During the same time small groups meet, we plug them right into a small group. And so we have guys like Ted, who was involved in that next step group, and several others. But that is one thing, just to encourage people to become a part of the life of what's happening here at Lighthouse. Number three, expand the small group ministry. So we already talked about this morning, but some of the small groups already need to be divided. And so we want to expand the small group ministry to keep them small and keep our focus on growth in those small group ministries there. And so that's important. Number four, have quarterly small group activities. Now, don't put all of this on your small group leaders. Many of you might have more of a propensity, like, I can't tell you how many of you have said, Pastor, when are we going to go to the Bar D again? It's like I am the barometer of determining when we're going to go to the Bar D, okay? I am not against the Bar D. Will we do an entire church-organized Bar D trip again? I don't know, but that's the beauty of your small group. Get your small group to go. And whether it's the Bar D or it's a softball game or it's whatever you want to do, okay? You can go and play Plinko together if you want. I don't care what you do, but having those fellowships quarterly, okay? Why are those important? That's important because it brings everyone together in a place outside of here, and the focus is just on fellowship, growing and loving on each other and getting to know each other. Number five, utilize Wednesday nights to edify the church. So Wednesday nights, we have an interesting opportunity here. I really prayed about this, but church, we need to move forward with pouring into the lives of our young people. Brother Caleb needs help. All right? He's been serving alone with his wife, Brother Caleb and Miss Amber, in the teen group for a couple years now. Now, there was a time when you had some help in there, I think, along that line. I don't know who it was. But Brother Caleb needs some people to jump in there and get involved and help him with getting some games together and maybe do some mentoring of those young people. Our Lighthouse Kids Club, we need more help in that and expanding that ministry. And I tell you, I might be preaching to the choir in here, but I believe there's some people in here who could come and be involved in pouring your life into some of those young people. That's there again. Well, I don't want to come and serve. I want to come and be fed. All right, well, if that's where you're at spiritually, that's fine. But some of you, it's time to start feeding. It's time to start serving and helping others. And there's a way that you can get involved with that, especially on Wednesday nights. Now, for those that aren't involved in children's ministry on Wednesday nights, which I think is a big opportunity for us as a church, but with those of us that aren't involved in that, we're gonna begin having elective opportunities on Wednesday nights. We're going to be starting a ladies' Bible study again. I am planning to do a 12-week series coalition with, I think, Brother James in this, a 12-week series on addiction, on recovery from, not recovery, recovery is the wrong word, but particularly on sexual addiction. And I don't know exactly when we're going to do that this year, but I'm going to challenge all of our men, whether you have a struggle or not with that, to be involved with that, and maybe some of our ladies as well. We're planning on doing a series, an elective on Baptist history this summer. I want to do a series on Baptist history. And so a lot of interesting opportunities coming up on Wednesday nights. But the point is to edify, whether it's adults, and we also have discipleship groups meeting still on Wednesday nights, whether it's adults, teens, children's ministry, we're coming to be edified or to build up the next generation. Our young people, our teenagers and our kids, newcomers, new believers through discipleship. That's what we're aiming for there. And I'm not going to be teaching all of those electives. Those electives are going to be taught by several people in this room. But we're going to grow together as a church this coming year. Last thing, multiply, okay? Three things I'll say here. Number one, involve every member of our church in in-reach ministry opportunities. If you were here this morning, I called this the housekeeping ministries, the in-reach, inside these four walls. Ministries like ushers, we need more men to volunteer in that ministry. You say, well, they got plenty of them. No, they don't. You think that they like to stand back there and wear those coats and not sit with their wives every week, but they actually don't. And I think many of them don't mind serving, but we need more men to be involved with that. We need more men to get involved with, and ladies to get involved with the greeting ministry, hospitality. We always have a need for more help in that. The cleaning ministry has seen some dropout this year. And the nursery, boy, that's always a needy area right there. and children's ministry, teachers for Sunday school. Miss Katie has been teaching all of our kids for about a year alone. I was helping her in there before that. During that small group time, we have the children's class. Sometimes she has a very big group with a very broad range of age because she's the only children's teacher. But we sure could use someone who God will put it on their heart to help teaching, start teaching in that, because, hey, guess what? She's going to have a baby soon. She's out, okay? She's already told me. She's done. She's not going to bring the baby in there. And we wouldn't want her to do that anyways. But we need some people to step up into that ministry. I'm just letting you know some of the direction and need that we have in the ministry here. But the point is, I want to challenge all of you, every one of you, find a place where you can get involved in serving the Lord in some inreach inside of these four walls. Every one of you can do something, whether it's coming to greet or clean or getting involved in hospitality or serving in the children's ministry, helping things get prepared for the children's ministry. There's so many opportunities here. And if you don't know what to do, then talk to your small group leader. They will help you find a place. They will help you find a place. That's why they're there, one of the reasons. Number one was involve every member of our church in inreach. Number two, involve every member of our church in outreach ministry. Now we're talking about outside these four walls. This isn't housekeeping. This is the mission here. Now some of the inreach, you might have an opportunity to as an usher, minister to someone. Or in hospitality, bringing a meal to someone to witness to them. I understand that. But those ministries are primarily focused on just caring for the body, which is necessary, which is good. But we need to grow in all of us in getting involved in outreach ministry, getting involved in going soul winning and visiting people who are dropping out or people who are new and coming, and they just need someone to reach out to them and invite them to a small group and say, hey, I'm glad you came to Lighthouse Baptist Church. I care about you. Nursing home, Toyoak. Boy, there's a need in Toyoak. I'd love to see a ministry started to Toyoak of outreach. Community cleanup opportunities, ministering to the homeless, a food kitchen, public school Bible clubs. There are more things than what I could possibly list. And as I said before, a lot of this outreach, some of it's going to be structured through the process of our church, but most of it is going to come naturally through your small group. And we're encouraging you to be a part of a small group and get involved in inreach and outreach through the ministry of your small group. And so inreach, outreach, everybody, nobody excluded. We're all a part of the family here, okay? Now some of you have been serving for years and you've been waiting for someone to take over the baton. And you can't be expected to carry on the same things for years and years and years on end. I understand that. But all of us can find somewhere to get involved with these things. And it's important. Number three, and this is the last goal I have for you here tonight, it's to create outreach opportunities to our legislators and community leaders. And the Lord has just given me a burden to have a Daniel-like influence and to continue to pray for these men and women. That's one of the reasons we keep on going to our Capitol. And one of the reasons we're going to try to go out to D.C. this year is because I believe the Lord's given us some open doors. We've had several. We've had Scott Tipton and Mark Catlin in our church. And I want to steward those opportunities and try to encourage those men that are ministering in very dark places if we can. And maybe even be able to lead some of them to Christ and influence them for good. That would be the goal right there. And so a lot, I know I've shared with you a lot tonight. And I know we're 15 minutes over here. I'm very much aware of that, okay? But these are some of the things that God's setting us forward for this year. We have a mission to make mature and multiply disciples of Christ. Now, when you look at it all, no one of us can be a part of all of it. But every one of us can be a part of some of it. And together, we can accomplish the mission that Jesus Christ has for us this year. And there are many things I know that didn't make it on this list. I'm not God, and I couldn't possibly know everything that God's wanting to do at Lighthouse Baptist Church. But I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm excited to be someone that is willing for God to use if He will. And I pray that you are as well, and that you'll find a place according to what your gifts are, your abilities are, to give of yourself to be a part of this process, making, maturing, and multiplying disciples of Jesus. Now, before we're done, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to take some time to pray together. Now, if you need to go, I totally understand that. And I'm not going to, you're not less spiritual because you didn't stay to pray, okay? No one would say that. I know we went a little bit over here tonight, and that was intentional. But I'd like to take some time for some of our men to get together, some of our ladies to get together, and let's, you might take a minute talking about some of the things God spoke to your heart about, but let's just pray for God to use us this year to grow as disciples and to make other disciples, to see other people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and see the influence and ability of this ministry increased, multiplied, to impact our city, our county, our state, our country for His glory. Okay? So that's how we're going to end tonight. I'm going to ask for everybody just to find someone to pray with and take some time to pray together. And I sure would appreciate if after you're done praying, don't make a big hubbub of noise. You might slip out, if you would, after we take some time to pray together. But let's all stand together here as we conclude. And let's end this vision night together praying about these things that God's put on our heart for this year. And so right now, you stood to your feet. Why don't you go look around the room, find someone that you can pray with, and let's take some time to pray together as a church family. When you're done, we'll be concluded here for tonight. But let's take some time to pray together.